Oh shit. Here you go, motherfuckers. Another fun-filled episode of Church of What's Happening Now. Hit it, Lee! What? Here we go, ladies and gentlemen. Sunday, December 23rd, two more shoplifting days. One more before the holidays. Here you go, motherfuckers. What? Lee Syatt, the Flying Jew, Joey Coco Diaz, the Church of What's Happening Now. Hit it, Lee! Wiggle, Lee. Let me see you do that wiggle. That's it. Come on, Lee. Do it. Oh, shit. We got ourselves a little fucking shoulder camera. What you got next to you? We got a little alley cat there next to you doing her thing, watching. She's my chubby little cat who I love to death. I don't know how she gets that chubby. Not like she's out at night eating fucking cheeseburgers or whatever. Hit it, Lee. A little bit more. Go. What? Oh, shit, Lee. Go. Do it, cocksucker. What's happening, Lee Syatt?
Not much. Ellie hasn't said hi to me before
this. That's right.
This
she's a cute little girl. She's got the anger of her fucking father, though. Her father was the samurai.
Really?
Yeah. You grab her, she'll growl at you. But she sleeps with me until... Last night, I didn't grab onto her, and she fucking left pissed off. Plus, I farted under the blanket. She was like, I gots to go. Sunday, December 23rd, you bad motherfuckers. Thank you for being here. I love you guys with all my heart. Lee Syatt did not take the fart to the face on Friday night, the end of the world show, and there's many reasons why. The girl showed up, but he was embarrassed.
No, she didn't.
Yes, she did.
Don't blame it on me.
Then, when I introduced him to Doug Stanhope's girlfriend, because Bingo had a chick that would fart in his face, when she walked over to him, he almost fucking fainted. When I go, this is the girl that's going to fart in your face, guys, he turned fucking pale.
Because you should have seen the smile on her face.
That's right.
She would have been so happy to do it.
Oh, that's right. But I had to talk her out of it.
No, you didn't.
She was crying and whatnot. So February, we're going to have a Valentine's show, or maybe my January 17th show at the Irvine Improv. On a Thursday night, we'll get Lee to come down instead of testicle testing. So we'll get a chick to fart in his face that night. Because I didn't want him to go home with that smell of fart in your face. Sometimes somebody farts in your face and it stays on your skin for like 4 or 5 days. I don't want him kissing his mother with that smell on. You know, maybe the black chick ate a fucking... you know, wild wings or whatever for the last 3 days. That coleslaw, fuck up your asshole. You happy to be going home, brother?
Yeah, I'm thrilled to be going home.
I'm happy. Everybody needs a little break to go home and refuel the fucking batteries. End of the world show. Fucking tremendous. Lee Syatt came with me. You should have seen him. Like I said, he had the white pets. He had everything. He had a little bag with the antibacterial shit. When you're eating ass, Lee, there ain't no bacteria. You just eat that motherfucker. It's like Lysol on your tongue. You know what I'm saying, Lee? But anyway.
I think it's the exact opposite of
you're
Lysol.
You're a fucking savage, Lee. I love it. Besides that, no, the end of the world show was great. Stanhope was great. Fucking honey. She is a monster.
Yeah.
The band is a monster, but she really, really... It's like listening to Fleetwood Mac, Sheryl Crow, and Pat Benatar riled up and more. That's how good she is.
I was talking to Andy Bravo, and he's a big music guy.
Oh, please.
And I love, like, I haven't listened to some of their new stuff, but Evanescence, that's like a rocky
sort of
thing.
Yeah.
I love girl singers.
Yeah, I love them too. I've always loved them. But this chick rocked it.
She was great.
She fucking brought it. It's a great. I love Pat Benatar. I love Fleetwood Mac. So, I mean, she, for the first time I seen him on the Joe Rogan Experience, I almost fucking died. Almost died. I couldn't believe that they made that much ruckus with the little they had. It's like watching ZZ Top. There's only a guitar and a drum. These motherfuckers don't give a fuck. You think an explosion's going off or something like that.
Yeah, and do you see the bassist? The bassist looked like a Jew.
Yeah,
I didn't get to talk to him, but he looked like a Jew.
Who's a Jew? Musicians are all Jews. Honey, my baby did not come. It should be here today. I woke up to my wife cleaning. That's always a sign of a fucking apocalypse or something like that. She was hanging up my ties, so I love my wife. And she's a great cook, but for the love of fucking Christ, you know what I'm saying? When I met her, I had to force her to take fucking showers at gunpoint when I first met her and shit.
Oh, you're such a nasty
one shower a day. I got around 3 or 4 now because for the love of fucking Christ. You know, she's half Indian, half Irish. I love them to death, but they didn't write the fucking book on showers or invent any of that shit. Irish people, I love you, but I love my wife. She's waxing today. She's cleaning. No, I got no fucking manners. That's what people know. I'll fart in your face, like Lee. But we're here. That's it. 2 days. This is what we work for, people, year round for Christmas and New Year's. This is what we do. What we do for.
Yeah, and I want to say I met some people, very nice people from they drove down from like wine country and was
love you, baby. Be careful. Don't forget to get good cold cuts, slice them thin. Take a look at the lobster tail. So, but you do. You're going to have that baby tonight, honey. I love you.
And anyway, some people drove down from Wine Country. Some people from Orange County drove up from the Urban Oven food truck, and everyone was so nice. It was great.
We're gonna take over, people. That squad. It's just a bunch of like-minded people that we love the arts, whatever it may be. We love to eat. We love to stay healthy. We want to live. That's it. We all have a hard on for life. That's the quest from Dead Squad. Just a hard on for life. You do something with your life. You get up in the morning. And you love what you're doing. And that's fucking Lee this morning calls me. I wake up this morning. I get a message from Lee. I call him back. What's up, Lee? I got up at 4 and I saw that you put Tamara, another fucking guy that didn't want to come over here.
First of all, I didn't leave you a message. I'm not that stupid. Second of all, at 4 in the morning, you say, podcast tomorrow. Your wife's pregnant. I think maybe she's having the baby. I don't want to come over here.
Fucking baby. Don't worry about nothing. I did the Laugh Factory last night, 12:45, and guess who showed up last night? The Armenian crew from the Ice House.
No way.
The young guys who I love to death. We're going to go out and get sushi on Thursday night at Dragon Sushi in North Hollywood. If I don't have the baby, I'll probably do a spot across the street at the Haha. But I got to tell you what really happened last night. That was fucked up. Well, that's why I was online at 4 in the morning. Because you know when I get home from doing the spot, I usually... smoke my vapor pen and maybe take my vitamins.
Yeah, you're usually asleep by 2.
Yeah, I go to sleep. But last night I was driving home and I got off on Laurel Canyon.
Okay.
I took the canyon over and I drove on Riverside. I was going to go get a taco.
Oh.
I took Lee. Listen, man, look, I've always told you motherfuckers, I am 400 pounds not because I eat shit. There's no shit in my fucking life. If I take you to eat some, it might be shitty, but it's the best of the shit of that category.
It might not be good for you, but
it might not be good for you, but I don't like a lot of bad shit. Like, I've never taken you to a bad place like that, except the time you ordered the fucking ravioli on your own cup. So don't blame that shit on me. You don't see me ordering ravioli, don't fucking order the ravioli. So there's a little spot on Fridays and Saturdays, and whenever I do comedy, I love it. I love going out during the week to do comedy because on the way back, I listen to Nikki Six.
Okay.
On his radio show, The Sixth Sense, great fucking show. But during the weekends, I like going out because I know on Friday and Saturday, A, my wife is pregnant, and B, I can stop at the hot dog stand with no guilt. There's these two Mexicans, there's a couple, fucking great couple, great. I've been going there for 2 or 3 years. Ever since I moved up there, I discovered them. I don't like the hot dogs as much when my wife is pregnant. I took you because we were hungry after the show.
Yeah.
I usually just get a taco. Just to talk to him.
The pork ones?
I get the carne. Carnitas, whatever. The carne asada. He's got carne asada, chorizo with potato.
I don't know. The fucking hot dog was great.
Oh, it's delicious. It's a Mexican hot dog. It's a hot dog with bacon around it. You can't lose. It goes right to the fucking heart. My heart's still stinging.
And they do. And I always hate when people do bacon. And I saw your wife did it the right way, too. People do bacon and it's like not, like I like it really crispy.
Like I like you it can't, crispy. It's
that,
be crispy.
That guy had it on the griddle for probably 20 minutes and it went... Oh, I love grilled hot dogs, and then caramelized onions, and some
sweet
mustard.
Then
I put some of the, what is it, the
green sauce,
pico de gallo.
Did you really? Oh, that's what smelled. I'm telling you guys, you have no idea. So I went over there. I was going over there to meet D'Agostino, the manager from the Haha, the nice young kid.
Mm-hmm.
And Lee, you know where you Riverside? You're driving down. There's like that Tahunga. There's a Starbucks. There's like five corners. It's at the parkway.
With a drive-through. Yeah.
Under that bridge, there was a kid smoking a cigarette. You know, and I was at the light, and I just happened to look at him, and he was lighting something. He wasn't smoking crack. There was a cop in the corner, so I knew the kid wasn't smoking crack. He was just getting out of the rain. You know, it was raining last night.
Yeah.
So I went down, and I went to make the left to go up the side street to the Haha and the hot dog guy to sneak up on the hot dog guy from behind. Something just triggered me about that kid. I was like, that's the weirdest thing. That kid's out there in the rain at 1:15 just smoking a cigarette under the fucking... I didn't know it. So I said, let me turn back. I didn't want the kid to think that I was some pervert, you know, driving around like the ones that we mugged when we were kids in North Bergen. I made a U-turn. I pulled up to the kid and I go, hey, man, I'm Joey Diaz. I just want to say hello. And he looked at me and he goes, what? And I go, listen, man, do you need anything? And I pulled my car over. He looked at me like if I was fucking crazy, you know? And I got out of the car, and I got like 5 or 6 feet from him. I could tell he was like 17. And I go, what's happening, man? He goes, nothing. He was kind of weird. And I go, you drunk or something? You drinking? You partying? He goes, no. And I don't know why. Guys, I usually mind my fucking business. Lee knows.
Yeah, I'm surprised.
But something struck me to say something to this kid. And I go, what's happening? He goes, oh, nothing, you know, just walking back. But I looked down the floor, and he had, like, a bag with him, like a bag of clothes, you know. And I go, did you just move to California? And sure enough, he had left Arizona. You know, I didn't get into it. He goes, nah, I just want to, I quit high school. My parents signed me out. And I didn't want to live at home no more. So I took a bus, and he wants to be a computer guy, a camera guy.
Okay.
Like a camera operator, whatever. And it was weird because he couldn't have been a day over 17, you know. I looked at him. I didn't want to ask him, like, where he was staying. You know, I can't. I got no room for nobody here. And all I could do is help you and talk to you a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So I just talked to him. And the more and more I talked to him, I thought about myself at 19. I thought about myself wanting to do more with my life and being helpless, not having the funds, not having a job, you know, and stealing and doing drugs because I didn't have what I wanted to get to the next level of my life. And he reminded me of 1983 or 84 when I came out here and tormented my uncle and tried to, you know, he had to hold me at gunpoint. I tried to rob him. It reminded me of a kid that had a lot of heart but just didn't have the tools to put it together, you know.
Well, you dropped out of high school for a semester or something.
Yeah,
too,
I dropped out for like 3 or 4 months, but then I went back and I stayed home for 2 years. I thought I had it together, but it came a point where even the drugs were filling this gap because what I wanted was, I wanted to do something in my life. I didn't really want to do what I was doing. You know, nobody wants to be mugging people or fucking doing drugs when you're doing them. It's just, it was at that point in my life, I wanted more. And I just kept talking to the kid, and I talked to him for like an hour. I took his name. I told him where I usually hang out if he needed some. I just reached in my pocket. I think my wife gave me $100 yesterday and went to the bank, and I think I had like 55 left, and I just gave it to him. I said, you know, there's hotels around here. I go, look, I would love to ask you if you want a ride or whatever, but it ain't going to help you. You know, it ain't going to help you. You know what you're doing. When you get to that point, you know what, you want help, but you want to be alone because you want to figure it out. It was just really, I came home, I couldn't sleep. I had the hot dog with D'Agostino, I had the taco. I talked to D'Agostino for a while, I told him about the haha, I told him about my schedule next week. And pretty much, I just came home and I thought about it. I thought about how I felt at that age. When I remember taking a fucking, I got a law settlement, right, from faking this fucking accident.
Yeah.
Me and Cy Lawrence, heavy Cy Lawrence, this Jew that was fucking, all he did was find places for people to fall. Like he would go to supermarkets and see if the anything was in a bottle, you know, like in glass, and he would break it and see if he could slip on it, like how long he could take. This guy was a genius. That's all he did. And he worked closely with an attorney, and he worked closely with a Jew attorney. He worked closely with a chiropractor and doctors, and they would set up injuries. So let's say Cy Lawrence in the daytime, his job was to find holes in the ground, little bumps in the floor that your foot could get caught. And he would come to you, and for a flat fee, he would get like $300 to set it up. So all you had to do was tell Cy Lawrence you wanted to sue somebody, and for $300, Cy Lawrence would get it all set up. You sued you, he'd drive you to the hospital to get the initial report, and the next day he'd drive you to the doctor, and it was out of his hands. The doctor would set up the whole, the attorney's office would set up the whole fucking deal for you.
That's crazy. Now, do you, Not that you're not a nice guy, but I'm surprised you stopped. Do you think you would have stopped if, A, he wasn't younger, and, B, since he's young, do you think your wife being pregnant had something to do with it?
I don't understand the question. I'm too fucking stoned right now. I stopped because I never stop.
That's what I'm saying.
And I should stop more often from time to time. You know, the fucking foundation for life is when you're a kid. That's when you gain your trust for people. That's when you gain a lot of the shit that you, at 17, I didn't trust anybody, so I didn't want nobody coming around me unless I fucking knew you. So before I went back there, I thought of all those things.
Yeah.
I thought of all those things. I didn't trust anybody. Something happened with this kid that he wanted to do this, something. The father and him argued, the mother, a girl, something, a buddy, something must have happened. I didn't get into it. But it was just very weird talking to him, Lee, and talking to him and seeing so much of me in him. And what did I see in him? Not aggression or not somebody that was cool. I seen vulnerability. I seen a hole in his game. I seen the pain that he had. He was the frustration.
Yeah.
It just took me back to that. So I came home and I couldn't really lay down. I tried playing with the cats and I just kept thinking of after I sued that guy. And I remember that I was headed, you know, this is a true story. This is how fucking Lee always says to me, how do you not plan stuff? Because by 85, I already knew that you live by the day. Yeah, you can have your long-range goals, and you can have whatever the fuck you want to do, but pretty much you live for the day. You know, in my world, I live for the day. And I'll never forget that. And I'm not fucking kidding you. When I got on that plane to Colorado in June or July 1st of 1985, I'm telling you, Lee, it was a flight to Denver. When I got on that plane, I was headed to Colorado Springs. When I got off that 3-hour flight, I was moving to Boulder.
Yeah, you told me somewhere on the plane.
Somebody on the bus, a black guy, was like a pimp black guy. He's like, you don't want to move to motherfucking Colorado Springs with those GIs and shit. You want to go to Boulder and sling some dick. I mean, this guy was crazy. But that's the reason why I made my decision of my life on that fucking plane. I was just getting on a plane to nowhere. I didn't know where the fuck I was going. But I knew I couldn't live where I was living. I know that I wouldn't last to the age. I knew if I would have stayed in North Bergen, I would have either been dead by 26 or I would have been in prison for life by 26. I would have got 20 years or something, which pretty much you're not dead, but you are dead. Because after 20 years, you just get institutionalized. As a matter of fact, Danny B is calling today. I got another surprise caller at 10 o'clock, but that's what we're talking to that kid reminded me of last night. It was just seeing what I'm about. Just seeing what I was about, bro, and how I turned it around to a way that... No, because I'm still scared.
Yeah.
I'm scared every day when I fucking wake up, you know? Every day. You think this could be the last day, or this could be the day when I figure out I'm a fucking mook, or this could be the day when I drive and, you know, I run a stop sign, or whatever. I know my life is daily because I know how fast your life can change.
Yeah, that.
You know, I know how many times I was going to eat lunch and I ended up getting arrested on the way. And those people are still sitting there waiting on me. Where the fuck is this guy? But that was 20 fucking years ago when all that shit happened. So that was it.
Taking a bus at 17. Like, when I was, like, I remember being that age, and it wasn't too long ago for me, like 7 years ago. And I thought, in my head, I was old enough for that, but looking back, if I had to pay bills and be on my own at 17, I would have found it. Like, I don't think, when you look back, you're like, oh, I couldn't do that. But when you're faced with it, you have to do it.
You got to do it.
But it's just, that's, you
know,
scary.
It's like when I see a 14, 12-year-old kid, or when I see a kid, and I know the parents in the middle of the conversation, I go, how old is your kid? And they'll say, he's 15. I'll look at the kid and go, you know what? When I got dropped, that's how old I was. When I got, my world was dropped on me.
Yeah.
Like, could I really handle that? No. I look at these kids that are 14 and 15 and see, and I think about it, you know, I got the bomb dropped on me, and I'm not tapping myself on the back, I'm just stating a fact.
That's all it is.
At 14, there's no way I shouldn't have shot up a post office. There's no fucking way. There's no way when I see a kid my age, at that age that, you know, when my parents died, I was forced to whatever. I wasn't forced to do anything. I chose to do my decisions. I'm not going to lie to nobody. When I was 16, whatever, I look at these kids and I go, was I ready? Would this kid be ready right now?
No.
Fidel! Knock it off, cocksucker. Fidel's attacks Harry from time to time. Fidel's a sweet cat, but every once in a while he just forgets. He's fucking six. Fidel! I'm watching you, cocksucker. So, it's just really weird, the things you can't handle. Like, there's no fucking way. I'm telling you. I look at these kids, there's no way if you would have fallen that, dropped. I told that story at the storyteller's, Ari's thing there, and I was telling a story about beating up Santa Claus on Christmas Eve in Jersey with a bunch of us. We hit him with a snowball, Bobby Banta, Vanacek, and those guys. But the sadness to that story was the night before. That was one of the first Christmas Eves I was without my family.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want to go to the Bender's house. I'll never forget this. I didn't want to go back to Bender's house. And I went to the Meadowlands Inn. And at that time, how I made a living was, me and this kid Brian, he worked at a bank, and he got this check cash from me. And we made like 20 grand a piece. I've told that story.
Yeah.
That was when John Lennon got shot and all that, which is fucking amazing that it happened back that long. What was I talking about?
The night before.
Oh, yeah, and I bought. I remember I'm at this strip club, this dirty fucking strip club. This girl is sitting on a Galliano bottle. This is the Meadowlands Inn. And here I am in a room full of fucking men. And I'm 15 or 16. I'm looking around, and there's women getting their pussies eaten in the back. Like, the VIP in this thing wasn't couches. It was chairs. It was
okay.
Just regular, disgusting chairs. Like the one I'm sitting on. And women, you pay them money, and they suck your dick, and you eat their ass. It was, and these dirty stripper chicks, you know, they were all like Gemmas, you know. They were all dancing. They all sucked 1,000 cocks by that age. And here you are eating that pussy with no fucking mask on, no preservative on your tongue or nothing like that. You know, it was just nasty. And I remember one of the bikers came up to me and he goes, you know, I got meth. In those days, they used to call it speed.
Yeah.
And I had sold Black Beauties. In those days, I made my money selling Black Beauties. And I would go to East Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania, to the college there, and I'd buy acid.
What are Black Beauties?
Black Beauties are speed.
Oh, those
they're diet pills.
They're okay.
Initially, they were pharmaceutical fucking diet pills that the government would give you. But they would get out into the hands of criminals like me and my buddies, and we'd sell them. And wrestlers. Wrestlers would buy
high school wrestlers,
so we used to get Black Beauties and Christmas trees. Christmas trees were red and green with little capsules with little pellets in them. Like that, the other diet pills. And I would get them for, I would get 1,000 of them for $35.
Jesus.
But I would sell 100 of them for $35. I would sell them for $1 a piece.
How did they get them for $35? Did they just stole them?
Okay. Who fucking knows? What's with the questions? You just buy it and you sell them. But I would get 1,000 of them in a jar for $35. I would sell 100 of them.
Yeah.
I would sell 100 of them for $35. So after I sold the first 100, I was in the profit. I was already in my fucking profit. I was already
10 times profit. That's crazy.
10 times profit. And I would sell them to wrestlers.
Yeah.
To the high school wrestlers and to other wrestlers around that he needed to cut weight. That's what I would sell them to. My big business was wrestlers and fat chicks.
And how long would it take you to go through 1,000 of them?
3 or 4 fucking days.
That's it? Holy
three or
shit.
Four, I'd come back. I'd go to East Stroudsburg every Saturday. Me and a kid, Nick Biamonte, would drive to East Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania. He'd take me to these fucking kids' house off campus. That they were like Jewish kids, and they were supposed to be like 20. They were in their senior years for the last 20 years. They had white hair. I'll never forget the one kid that struck me weird at that age, that they already had white hair from, because they were, what do you call those people that don't leave the house?
Shut-ins.
And they just did acid, listened to Zeppelin and Black Sabbath and the Beatles and Floyd and Emerson, Lake and Palmer. And we go up there every Saturday at 10 o'clock and bring them thousands. They were chemists. Bring these kids thousands of fucking dollars. They would each, every week they would make, and they weren't, they were the original nerds,
yeah.
But they were cool nerds because they made like, every week they made like Led Zeppelin, acid, or this, and they knew how to make the different strains on paper and the little tablets. I mean, these motherfuckers were geniuses, and their shit was stronger and stronger every week. And we would go up there on Saturdays. I'd come back by Saturday night. Saturday night, I wouldn't get demand for ups because my week wouldn't start till I went to the high school.
On Monday?
I would make my business was the high school. Like, that was the main reason why I liked going to school, because I would make money. As soon as I got to the school, there was three chicks that came up to me and wanted 20 ups. I loved when you bought 20 ups for $20. You pay me $1 a piece for something I'm paying a quarter of a fucking penny a piece. If I sold mescaline, I got mescaline for $90 for 100 hits.
Okay.
So that means it's 90 cents. I would sell them for $3. I'd make $2.10 on each of them. So I'd go to school and send 20 hits of mescaline. I already made $30 fucking dollars.
Jesus. The fact that in your entire life, you only did, other than like small ones, you only did 3 years is, like, because you were going to fuck, you were crossing state lines to buy drugs.
You know, in those days, man, it wasn't as It didn't get as publicized with people pulling people over till cocaine came along.
Okay.
Once that route from Miami to New Jersey came along, I'm going to pull you over and look for what? I don't even know what the fuck I'm looking for. Look for what? That East Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania thing was just a couple of hours from North Bergen. And we would make it into a hamburger run. It was a hamburger one. Let's go for a hamburger. And that's what you really do. You're not going to get drugs. You're going for a food run.
Mm-hmm.
You're acting like it's a food run. You're not drinking. You're not in there smoking pot. You're going, what are you guys doing? Hi, officer. What's up? Nothing. We went to get a burger around the block at that fucking place. You guys came all the way from Jersey. And yeah. This was way before Discovery Channel or Food Network. This is way before Anthony Bourdain would go. The word got out that your place had great burgers and you were in New York State or Pennsylvania. And we go, listen, let's go up there, get some burgers, get the wrappers in the car.
Holy shit.
And bring back fucking a pound of weed or whatever the fuck we do. We take rides to Camden. We go into there. And then Harlem came. Once fucking Harlem got popular like that for drugs, we were in there all the time. It's a 10-minute drive into fucking Harlem. If we go through the Lincoln Tunnel, and if we go to the Lincoln Tunnel, it's a 10-minute drive over the Lincoln Tunnel, then up the West Side Highway. And if not, we go through the bridge and shoot over. And I was still in Harlem. By the way, talking about Harlem, I got a great fucking... I want to give a shout-out to somebody this morning. Harlem, motherfucking Death Squad, the Harlem Division. El Domenicano running shit up there in fucking Harlem like Carlito's Way in 90-fucking-4. You hear me? We got a Death Squad now in Connecticut, Harlem, Kansas. We got the chapters opening up everywhere. Harlem, I will be up there. You get your fucking, you get your people straight, and I'll be up there with you fucking Puerto Rican, Dominican motherfuckers up there in a couple months doing a set, something. So get a social club going. Let's get this motherfucker on fire. I want to give a shout out. Let me give some more shout outs to these crazy motherfuckers before Danny comes, before I forget. How about station number 15 in New Orleans? G.W. Berry, I love you motherfuckers. I know you're down there listening, firing people, getting ready for Katrina. Whatever the fuck you're doing, I love you guys. And by the way, I will be in New Orleans, not doing comedy. I'll be filming a fucking movie down there. I'll be down there after March 11th rocking it, so I'm going to try to put something together. I'll get the dates for you guys. So hopefully I'll come by the fire station and we can talk about fires and Jewish lightning and how to stop a Jew. You know what I'm saying? All right. How about a fucking big round of applause for my man Jacob Herring, Jay Garza over there, Kyle Souther, stop smoking, cocksucker, Jamie White, Paul3TCK, Chris Carlton Burnett, Joey Palomo over there at UPS, get your shit together, Joey Palomo. How about Jeffrey Marzam and Dave Wilder? You know I love you, you're always there with me, banging it out. And that's all I got for you. How about a shout out? Let me tell you something. Again, I've been trying this shit, guys. I was telling Rogan at the end of the world show, I go, Joe, listen, you know, when I would first go to the house and he would go on his podcast and he would do a 20 minute about the piss cup, the thing you jerk off in.
The piss cup.
What is it called?
The fleshlight.
The fleshlight. I thought he was fucking crazy. And then he would go crazy on Alpha Brain.
Mm-hmm.
He would fucking Alpha Brain this. If you don't like it, you get a money back guarantee. Yeah. He was like fucking crazy at it. He drove me crazy. I started taking Alpha Brain. And I got to tell you, that's when I stopped smoking physical reefer. That's when I switched over to the motherfucking vape. And you're like, Joey, why are you being such a fucking girl? Why are you being such a fucking gay cocksucker? Why? Because I'm trying to save my lungs so I can chase my little baby whenever the fuck it decides to show up. Today's the day I'm going to tie up the wife and fuck her like a savage and put Mexican food in her till the fucking baby sweats it out. I want to have this kid Sunday, Monday, or Tuesday, so I'm back Wednesday, ready to work. Lee will be gone for a week. We'll be getting shit together. We got a lot of shit coming up in 2013. I'm happy you motherfuckers did everything you could for me in 2012. Thank you. You know, from the bottom of my heart, me and Lee, thank you. We've done everything together from day one. But what I was talking about, Joe Rogan would say, if you don't buy the product, go get the chemicals that are in it and put them together and take it. That's how much he believed in Alpha Brain. I took it and I pulled him aside and I said, if you have an addiction, this is the way to go off with Alpha Brain if you want to push it from that angle. How do I know? Anyway, I spoke to his partner, Aubrey, who I love with all my heart. Happy holidays. And he told me that he wanted to do some business because I had spoken about the product before. The protein powder is fucking phenomenal. Listen. Look, protein powders, or whatever the fuck they're in them, the hemp protein is delicious. It's great for you. You know, if you can find protein powder somewhere else, whatever, God bless you. It's not going to be the flavor that this guy's put together at Omelet. That's one thing. But I'll tell you what I've really got from Omelet. Half of you motherfuckers, you know, my shirt guy calls me up the other day. He's like, Joey, we haven't sold no small mediums, not even large. I said, listen, douchebag, our people here are all fat fucks. Lee's a fucking savage. I'm a fucking savage. You know, birds of a feather flock together. I guarantee 50% of you people who watch this are a little on the chubby side. You know, and that's just the way fucking life is. But we're all trying to get better. We're all going to become healthy fat fucks. That's what we're doing in 2013. We might be 50 pounds overweight, but we're flying through the air. We're doing sidekicks for Jesus. We're smoking reefer, the whole fucking deal. Okay. Those strong bone pills, the glucosamine and the lysamine with the strolium in there to build your bones and whatever. I went to kickboxing 3 times last week. the other night. Was I not walking a little fucked up?
I thought your knee was messed up again.
My knee was fucked up. That's because I go and I don't fuck around. This is not a girls' kickboxing class where you throw little kicks. This is Muay Thai with a bunch of fucking Asians and they got body bags and they're punching you and hitting you in the fucking head. I got to wear a mouthpiece. I ain't fucking around down there. I love this shit. I want to get healthy. If I get healthy, you guys, we all get healthy together. We're all fucking slinging dick to the end of time together. Lee's going to sling some dick last week. His mind is gone already.
No, it's not.
He was walking around with hot pants yesterday. His dick was halfway hard. He has been whacking off thinking about this broad for the last whatever. Anyway, none of his fucking business. But you know why? Because he's taking New Mood, and it gets your dick fucking hard. But besides the New Mood, besides the Alpha Brain, besides the hemp protein, if you're heavy and you're going to start an exercise program, don't even wait till the fucking 31st. Start it today. But follow the fucking... Get Strong Bone. Just one fucking time. Go to the fucking onnit.com, get Strongbow, put Church in there, that's all. Give it a shot. Start with that. You know how I always say, you know, if the pork fried rice ain't good, why fucking get the shrimp and lobster sauce? Ah! Same fucking thing applies to this. Start with the Strongbow. Go to the fucking thing. Go to onnit.com or the Strongbow if you're a fat fuck and you want to walk around a little bit and you want to push the envelope. You know, somebody called me the other day, they hit me on Twitter like, Joey, I want to start getting healthy. Do I do yoga or fucking Tai Chi? You do everything, cocksucker. Tai Chi, yoga, scuba dive. You eat ass with no fucking flavoring. You do whatever you need to fucking do so you figure out what works for you. But the number one thing that you can do today is walk. You're going to say, but Joey, when I fucking walk the next day, my feet hurt. My fucking feet hurt too, and my knees hurt, whether I get on the bicycle. People are like, get on the bicycle, swim. All that shit's going to hurt at first. I'm just trying to tell you how to avoid all this pain. Go to fucking onnit.com. Get the Strongbow. Get a small thing of hemp protein, 16 grams of protein. I think it's 19 grams of fiber. You'll be farting all fucking day. Tremendous. And that hemp protein, it's like reefer and fucking rotten ass coming out of your asshole. Forget fucking Febreze and all this shit. You got your own Febreze coming out of that fucking muffler. You know what I'm saying? Lee, what the? Hit me with a song, Lee, something.
You want to do a...
Groove is in the heart, Lee. Let's put some music into these motherfuckers. I've been talking too much like I've been snorting dope. How about a shout out to my man, the fucking, my little gay Arbar. I love this guy. Gilberto Martinez and shit. You know what I'm saying? He's starting his own business. But there was one guy, Constantine, you know I love you. There was one guy, MB Leaf Girl, you sexy motherfucker. Lee's going to hook up with you this week, and we're going to have a good fucking time. Michael Costa, I don't know what fucking site. All right, stop with the questions. These motherfuckers, they want to ask you. Where's my boy right there this morning throwing on some sounds? Iris Abar, I love you, motherfucker. 17, hit it! Hit it, Lee. Oh shit. Oh shit. D. Bam. Oh shit. This is you, Lee. This is what it's all about, baby. It all starts in your fucking heart. If it ain't in there, it ain't gonna work. Hit it, Lee. Interrupted by the call of life. Oh shit. Oh shit!
What's
it's my man
on,
named
What's
DB.
Up, you, dirty cocksuckers?
You know me over here with the flying Jew, trying to put the pieces together. How's Gary feeling today?
Funny that you said that. He is now on his way back to my mother's house, but he likes to call that lockdown because I'm in a big ass house. When he's there in Keensburg, it's like a little hovel. So he's a little but he's good. He's hungover. He took down some tequila, puked like old times. Hit on some females, and we had a Christmas party here in Allentown. He got a 3-day pass, a little furlough, if you will. Had a good time. It was good spending a Christmas with him, Coco. But he's out of his fucking mind, though.
Hey, man, he sounds good. I got to be honest with you. When I spoke to him, hey, listen, he's crazy, but he sounds like he's at peace. He did his time. You know, he's like the guy in Goodfellas. He did his time. Now he's home. He's going to get what he's got to get. That's it.
Let me tell you something. He's in a hurry, though. That's my only concern. I love Gary. You know, growing up, I had 5 siblings, and he was the only one that I really got along with. So, yeah, I'm definitely concerned about him. I love him. I hope that he does the right thing. He's 43 years old, spent his whole life in jail, basically. But, you know what? It's a tough shot. You know, it's a long shot, but I hope he makes it, man.
Let me tell you something. If you were away for 20 years and you got out, you'd be in a fucking hurry, too, Danny.
I know that, but you know what? He's got it. All he's got to do, you know, I make coin. I make a good living. I can help him out. He's just got to get off probation so he can work in my line of work. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
so he's
right.
got 2 years to buy time, and then he'll make a couple of hundred grand a year with me. So he needs to just settle down, do his 2 years, come to Pennsylvania, work with me, and he'll be fine. He can run money back and forth to Vegas for me. Whatever he's got to fucking do, he can do. You know, so that's just a matter of him getting there, pal. You know, and I take a lot of blame for him spending so much time, because you know he always wanted to be like me and our crew. We always had it going on, hustling, and he was always in the background. You know, and the difference is, Coco, I had a bottom line. He didn't. You know, I knew when I drew a line, he didn't. He went to the next level, and phew, the rest is history. I mean, I talked to Tim Donaghy about how the NBA fixes games, all that shit. You've had both of them on your show. I'll tell you what, Gary's stories about prison are way more interesting. He'll keep you there, and you'll be like, oh, my God. And the shit that he had to do, I mean, this fucker ate people's faces off and actually digested their skin just to make a statement. So not only did he bite your face, he chewed it up and kind of shit it out a few hours later.
I love it. I fucking love it. I love it that he's from the neighborhood. I love that I got that fucking patois around me that I'll bite your fucking face. I love it, Danny B. It's the Lord's Day. We're 2 days from fucking Christmas.
Go ahead, yeah, man, it's fuck. It was good. Honestly, man, it's so cool to see him, you know, and it's so long he's been locked up, you know. He's not right in the head, but yet there's a part of him that's intelligent.
Very intelligent.
But there's still, yeah, and then there's a part of him that he's still so childlike because he missed his youth, you know, Coke. And I want to hug him. I hug him all the time. I just say, just the right thing, you know. It was easy for me to drift back into that world, and I didn't, but I was a little stronger, I think, mentally than him. And his drug shit was a lot more intense than mine. You know, we did our shit. We fucked our... Listen, we broke dawn more times than I can remember, but Gary broke weeks, you know? You used to call me Moonday. Gary was on 5-6-day benders at a time, you know? No sleep, weapons, robbing shit, breaking into McDonald's, you know? So he went the distance, brother, man. Hey, listen, I got a role for you, man. We're going to get this Donaghy movie going. You know, Charlie Sheen's going to play Tim Donaghy.
All right.
You're going to play Jimmy the Sheep Batista.
All right.
I'm going to play Tommy Martino. Now we just got to get somebody to direct it. What do you think?
All right. We'll find the director out here. I got Lee Syatt right over here ready to fucking go. He's got his little fucking director's cap on. He's ready to rock. It was interesting talking to Gary.
You'd be the perfect sheep. You'd be Jimmy the Sheep.
Oh, no. I love it. But one more thing about Gary. It's funny because, you know, I was telling, you know, Danny, at 14, think of the things we were doing.
Yeah.
Think of how pathetic it is that at 14 we were doing the things and we were seeing the things. 14-year-olds don't do that. Think of what he was seeing at 14 when he was watching us getting high and Russo and steroids and me bringing guns. He ate a half a bag of fucking mushrooms at 14. Do you know what that does to your psyche, dog? Do you know what that does to a person at 14? When I was telling Lee, whenever I see a kid now and I know the parent, I always ask how old your son is. And when he says my son is 13, right. I think of all the things I was doing at 13. Could that kid handle it today? He'd have a nervous fucking breakdown. And I'm not saying I was better than that. I was just saying that I can't believe I'm still here, Danny. I can't fucking believe it.
Well,
I should have.
You know we were survivors. We talk about this. A whole bunch of. We're not alone. You know, the whole group of us had to survive in different ways. But, you know, some of us had more strength. Gary started very young. Actually, Gary was like 8 or 9 years old before he did cocaine. You know, and like I said, I take a lot of that blame because he wanted to be like me. He wanted to drive a fancy car and have nice shit on him, you know. But, yeah, but I don't know. I just think that he went the distance. But all of us had a rough life, you know. Look at you. Look how fantastic you're doing right now. You know, it's a matter of just stopping and getting your shit together, you know. You know, me, I found this business, and it saved my fucking life, you know, and it's been good to me. It hasn't been easy. I lost $14 million collectively back in 2004 with a big gambling thing. Survived that. It was easy for me to go in another direction, but no, I stayed on course, brother. It's just about, you know, staying on course, just like I do every day.
I couldn't even imagine being out there today trying to sling drugs at a bar or driving around with a kilo in my trunk. I could not even think about it.
I'll tell you a sad story. I'll tell you a sad story. Last April, I had that run-in with Sabatino and Meehan. And we're in North Bergen, one of the last Sparkies. It's on Fairview Avenue. And next thing I know, it's 2 o'clock in the morning. Me and Sabatino were dropping some kid off in Sea Caucus. I participated a little bit, I ain't going to lie. But I was like driving this 10-mile-an-hour ride to Sea Caucus. It seemed like it took 2 days to get there. And all I kept saying is, I'm a father, man. What am I doing with this smuck? You know, driving around. God, we got back to my place. I locked the door. I said, what the fuck? Then I'm waking him up at 9 o'clock. Sobs, it's your kid's birthday. So the answer, they're still doing that, Coco. They're still fucking doing the same shit that you did and I did back in 86, 87. You know, it hasn't changed, man. So we definitely ain't missing much, you know. I look at my kids today. They're like, they have the life of Riley. 8-year-old, 3-year-old. They'll never be exposed to that shit. I ain't going to let them. And you don't let that happen as well.
No, I know. I got. You know, I know that part of the things I did because my parents did. And when your heroes do this shit in front of you, or you even have an idea that your heroes did this, what the fuck are you going to do? You're going to do it too. It don't take a brain surgeon to do that shit. You know, people think they're cool, they smoke weed in front of their kids, or their kids know that their dad smoked weed. Guess what? When it comes time to him, like at 10, he's telling you no. He's not going to get high, just say no. But at 15, he's going to go, you know what, let me just try it. My dad, it was a... Bro, it all, you know, parenting and it's...
I'll be honest with you, I was the last one out of the crew to get high. You know, I didn't wait long. I was like 12. But Bobby Banta, Phil Pott, Paris. Remember Paris Pizziona?
You know, he's Paris out is out here. Yeah. I told you, I was with Paris the time he got caught. His neck got caught in the peep show. He was sucking the black chick's tit. And he didn't put enough quarters in the fucking slot. And the thing closed down on his
Paris?
Slot.
No shit.
This is, we were, because, you know, Paris went to McKinley in the 8th grade.
Well, Paris got kicked out of a lot of schools,
right,
though.
So
Paris bounced around. Robert Fulton, he was one of those kids. Good athlete, though.
Tremendous basketball player.
Good athlete,
if you still talk to Paris, say hello to him. By the way, guess who died the other day? It was on Facebook. Davy Thomas. Do you remember the Thomas family down by Lincoln School?
I do. There was a bunch of them, right?
Right, they were Irish.
The family, pretty big,
And the one brother, he was the first guy to go fag bagging, but he didn't beat the fag up on Boulevard East. He took the fag back to his house and tied him up, and the guy was a piano player for fucking Lawrence Welk. I was telling these guys yesterday, that was Davy Thomas's claim to fucking fame. He was he also fucked the Hindu chick when Hindu chicks were nowhere. Nobody was even talking to Hindus. This is back in 81. He fucked that Hindu chick at the high school in the bathroom, and they suspended whatever day.
30 fucking years. It's 30 years. You know, I talk about, as the years winding down, another year going by. You look back and you think about those moments in life that were special, that stand out. And for me, I'll be honest with you, it was the summer of 82 and Christmas season of 82, 30 years ago. I mean, Christmas Eve, 30 years ago, Ligio's house, Joanne Ligio.
Oh, when you bit Roger's ear.
You were probably there.
I was there with Holloway and Conti. And I mean, let me tell you something. Yeah. I even did a special that I fucked up. I did a testicle testament, which I have on iTunes. They're like one-man shows I do about certain situations. And I told Lee, I did a one about the summer of 82, which I fucked up. I felt I fucked up. I didn't like it. But summer of 82, it started November of 81, and it didn't end till April of 83. I remember I left to Colorado April of 83, and I fell asleep for 3 weeks. And Danny, I wish I'm telling you a joke. I wish I was lying to you. I lost 20 fucking pounds. Because all I did was to Colorado and I slept.
Terrible.
Because I was on point from November of 81. We were on point where I was probably getting 15 hours of sleep a week.
You know, I'll be honest, the military, I was away for the 3 years.
I
left at 17. I was gone. So you guys were kind of already kicking in. Now, I shake and bake a little bit. I was in Panama. I did my first cocaine in Panama back in, I think, in 81. And I was fucked just a little bit, but that was the real shit. I mean, for 3 weeks, I was high off of one or two blasts. But we're walking through the jungle getting hit with shit like, hey, that felt good. But, I started a little later. I was the last one to smoke weed. I was the last one to really do the cocaine, but Anyway, yeah, we survived a lot of shit, man. But you guys were fucking nuts, though. We had fun, and you were always a fucking likable guy, Cope. Everybody loved you, you know, and that's why everybody's so happy for what you're doing right now. I mean, and the ones that ain't, let them go fuck themselves.
I don't even, you know, listen, I think of, you know, I've told my man Lee this, like the other day I was sitting there in the room high, I was smoking weed and writing, and I was thinking about that, you know, at the end of the week, one day I'm going to decide to go back home. And in the back of my mind, for some reason, I thought about that it was still the same when we left, which it really isn't. But just to the times that
horrible.
We left.
It's horrible. It's not even worth.
No, Coco, it's horrible.
Don't even save your trip.
No. I don't know. I'm just saying that I always thought that it stayed the way it was. Like, Corky's was still open.
No.
We could still go to Christy Lorenzo's house and steal his Coke when he hit it under the car outside and you'd see it.
Oh, man, I remember that shit. I remember
going over to buy a gram of Coke and finding...
He had that fucking red Barrett...
He had the red Diamante. What was the name of that car?
The Diamante.
It was an Italian car. Bimonti, some Italian line. Piece of shit. He paid like 30, 40 grand for that car. I think he still has it in his driveway. But he would those motherfuckers... Yeah. You know, our digger was supposed to call... And he blew me off, that motherfucker. So I had to fire him. I had to tell him not to lose my number.
But, digga.
Yeah.
I remember Digga. I saw him and Kurt DiLorenzo at the Millennium Building in Miami Beach back in... That's before I moved back to Pennsylvania. It was at 05.
Yeah,
it was like June of 05. Yeah, we had a good time. It was the first time I saw those fellas in a while. I mean, I hung out with Dirty Curdy for a bit. He's just out of his mind. He's just out there. Talk about a space cadet. No coming back. But I had fun. I always liked Digger. He was always funny, you know. And but yeah, that town's not worth going back.
No.
I was down there in Weehawken. And... What's that?
No. I meant it in the frame that nothing had ever changed, Louis.
I
thought
it,
that
yeah.
like you still you know, go back, and the only thing that has not changed that I heard is fucking better than ever is Rudy's in Cliffside Park. I heard Rudy's.
I was there, man. I was just fucking
you went there.
I cooked
right?
down some of the shrimp parmesan, the calamari. Fucking
God.
It was just there. It's the best.
The fucking calamari, the medium
the
sauce.
Beer.
God, you know, I used to walk there in 1982. In 81, I used to walk there from North Bergen to Rudy's with Russo, with Tommy Russo. We'd walk up there for Monday Night Football. And they'd serve us beer.
They did, but. That the guys are still the same bartenders.
Same,
we were there a few times.
Same
you know?
Fucking guy.
You know what else is still good? You know what else is still slamming? Hiram's. Callahan's is gone, but Hiram's, the
Hiram's,
hamburger joint.
Hot dogs,
that's
the hamburger.
Still slamming.
Yeah. Hashways is gone, but there's nothing to me. And Chan's dragging in. They're still cutting up cats and rats and dogs.
And Roma's. Roma's.
Roma's.
Charlie Roman.
But that's my all-time favorite is that Chan's dragging in for the love of fucking Christ. Their egg rolls.
Oh, Mai Tais. I used to get fucking...
Oh.
We used to do a fucking Mai Tai and an 8-ball. A Mai Tai, then another 8-ball.
It was
a Mai Tai, then 2 8-balls.
And if you did a Mai Tai, it made you go get an 8-ball. It was the weirdest fucking thing. Like, if you're sitting there, you had to do is one...
The fucking bartender.
What was his name?
Chucky. The Chinese guy.
Chucky. He knew when you were snorting. He'd keep bringing those fucking things. He'd light cigarettes for you. That's a bar. That motherfucker retired. That motherfucker
Chucky.
Retired,
yeah,
Chucky.
I can't believe... You know what? When I talk to you, I'd love to get us all together, you know, whoever's left, in one area just for one night. And just fucking reminisce, laugh, have a couple of cocktails, and whatever happens. But just that one last night, because, again, 30 years ago was the best time of my life. Favorite memory is heading down Seaside, which is no longer there you know, what happened. Me and James in his broken-down car, listening to Led Zeppelin, the Immigrant Song. Whatever the hell, however that thing intended. So we're numb, of course, sneaking beards, and all of a sudden, in between notes, you hear, okay, Patrick, tell us, why'd you kill the cat? And we're just looking at each other, we're like, what the fuck? Tell us why you killed the cat, make it easy on yourself. Meanwhile, it's Gary, my brother Gary, having his brother tied around a noose around his neck in my basement, because my cat, Patrick killed my cat a couple of days prior. He killed it in the middle of the night, stepped on it, because he didn't like cats. So they wanted a confession, and they needed evidence, so they took a Led Zeppelin fucking tape, my tape. And meanwhile, they got the confession on the tape, and so in the middle of the immigrant song, we start here, okay, Patrick, why'd you kill the... And we're just like, look, you don't remember, it was like the hit. And we're all like, and we got, oh, I killed him. And then my cousin Michael happened to be there because they left him to fucking hang. They kicked the milk carton out from underneath his neck, and he was fucking going to dangle on a pipe in the basement. But they rescued him, and that's how they got the confession on a Led Zeppelin tape in the middle of the immigrant song. But it was funny as hell because we played it for everybody. We heard that thing 10 dozen times that weekend. And everybody, come, did you hear the Cascade tape? Because it was so bizarre. Everybody's like, so what? It's the fucking Led Zeppelin. I heard this. No, just wait. I won't go to the all right, Patrick, why'd you kill the cat? And then he's like, I didn't. Make it easy on yourself. Okay, I did it. That was the best. Because the look on my, you know, the tape itself was funny, but the original look on James's face, when we looked across him, and he's driving, I said, what the fuck is going on here? And we died. Eventually, it was sad because that motherfucker killed my cat. That was my cat since I was a kid. So I was sad, but at the same time, it was so fucking funny. We played that tape till it wouldn't play no more, man. That was, and then a few months later, I ate the ear.
You did the what?
The Christmas
party. Oh, you ate the ear. You ate Roger's ear. Poor little Roger. Yeah. Roger's getting married again. Wow. His wife died. Wow. Now he's remarrying one of the nicest kids in the fucking world. His brother called me on
Roger's
Friday.
Roger's wife died?
Yeah.
Roger's wife died?
Roger,
I didn't know that. I'm
about
sorry,
2 years ago,
that.
His wife died of cancer. And then he got, he had a lump in his head or something. You know, Roger's a tough, dear friend of ours. Roger turned out to be I'm very lucky that he's still, you know, he's a born again, like he's a Christian and stuff, but he doesn't judge us at all. He laughs his ass off.
I love him. You know, he and I became, after that incident, because he was always a ball buster, Roger, and I didn't know him that well at 20. So I just didn't like what he was doing. So I don't know how it happened, but after that, shortly after that, we became very good friends. I met his father, and his father explained how close to death I came for doing that. And, but then the father kind of told me why he didn't call in the dogs, because Mr. Holloway had some contacts, you know that.
Right.
So, and he found out, he goes on, he's telling me the story, the father's saying, fucking, I'm getting this call that my son's ears missed, and I'm sending fucking Heckle and Jekyll looking for you. You ever been heckled and jekylled? That's when two big thugs come after you. So, Heckle and Jekyll. So, we became good friends. I love all you guys. The memories I'll never, you know, forget. You know, John Cowan hung himself, you know, a long time ago, Cokes, because his father found out he was gay, and then he couldn't live with the fact that his father was so... You know, Mr. Cowan, he had Eddie Cowan, John, ball players. He was a tough drunk, you know, and he was hard on his kids. So he made John feel guilty for being gay, and he killed himself. He hung himself in one of those hotels on Tunnel Avenue.
Wow, I'm sorry. The one I think about every day of my life... My brother, I love Ronnie with all my heart. He was my blood brother, and I love him to death.
Yeah, we're very close,
but
yes.
But do you know who I think about every day? You know who my real brother was? You know who breathed for me at one time? A man by the name of Glenn Conte. That was my brother growing up.
I love him, yeah.
I never got over Glenn Conte. I called him about 10 years ago. I was just shooting Analyze That. And I called him up, and I said, man, I'm in New York City. I'd love to see you. And he goes, listen, before you go any further, he goes, that's not what my life's about anymore. He goes, I wish you all the luck in the world.
Did the same to me.
And he goes, I can't do it no more. And I was very hurt for about 10 minutes, but I know what we went. I know that we'll still be friends in the next motherfucking life. I mean.
You know what? I heard that Larry McNeil, the hat. You know, they call Larry the hat. He told me the story how he kind of, I don't want to say a recluse, but he kind of shied away from everybody, and then he got back into the area for one night, and then he let his guard down. He got fucking hammered, and then he was like, that's it. I ain't never coming back.
Right.
I heard he'd done well investing in UPS.
Yes.
I heard he did well. But I remember when the Giants beat the Patriots the first Super Bowl a few years back, I was at Abramowitz's house, and I was like, come on, get Conte, because Glenn and I were close, because Glenn's grandmother and my grandmother grew up together. So we had that little bond, and we found that out as we were growing older. You know, shit, I didn't know our grandmothers knew each other. So we had a little bond there, and I actually used his name a lot over the years as we use stage names in our business as well, and I've always had a guy who called himself Glenn Conte or Sabatino. I always kept close to my you know, past too. But using guys from the past, Sabatino, Conti, I talk about you now on the show, and I'm glad to, I'm proud to. You know, so I never forget where we come from, but unfortunately, gosh, or fortunately, we got out of there, Coco, because there's nothing left there, man, except for Chicken Delight. Chicken Delight's still there.
Don't cook tonight.
Everybody's name. Don't get right? I remember Mike Donahue. Remember him, Chicken Delight? He was the manager there since he was like 12 years old. So instead of going to school, like 9:15, we'd stop in, turn the cookers on, fucking heat up some scallops and shrimp and fucking chicken breast and then go into the clubhouses. Instead of going to school, we'd sit there, smoke weed, eat Chicken Delight and scallops, burning candles to keep warm, not realizing that we're probably killing ourselves, and then about 2:45, work our way out of there, acting like we had a good day at school. That was another good memory, yeah. Chicken Delight and missing school.
Listen.
But, yeah.
I gotta tell you something. I gotta rock and roll here, but I know you got some bowl picks we discussed last night. I want the people to go to your webpage.
I do.
Because people are going to be off for the next 2 weeks. You got to make a fucking living, all right? These motherfuckers got to make a living the next 2 weeks. Because, like, you got the next 2 weeks off, right, Lee? They're not paying you.
No.
Lee's not getting paid for his fucking vacation. So we got to let these people make a living while the next 2 weeks. You got anything for them? You give them two bowl games or something?
Right now, I got locked in already in a couple of bowl games. Now, I'll make some more moves, and they can just check me out at DannyBWins.com. But right now, I'll tell you, off the cuff, definitely, I said this as soon as the line came out, jump on the Irish. I got them at plus 10. Right now, you're seeing minus 9.5 if you're taking Bama or, you know, plus 9. And get it up to plus 10, the Irish plus 10. I like that to be, a lot of people disagree, but I expect that to be a high-scoring game. So I think you're good. The worst-case scenario, you split out with the Irish in the over. But I like to go 2-0 on a title game with the Irish plus 10 and over 41. Buy the point, half the point down. If it's 41.5, buy it to 41. And the Orange Bowl, I think Florida State slaps Manners on Northern Illinois. The Orange Bowl on the first. Florida State's at 13.5, minus 13.5. Try to buy it down to 13 or, you know, 14, some 14s, but I like Florida State to rock and roll in the Orange Bowl. And, again, I make moves here and there, you know, sometimes least expected, but those are two plays that I'm definitely moving on, is the Irish and Florida State, my friend. What's up, buddy? There's a ghost here? All right, well, go shoot him with one of your guns.
I love you, Danny B. I'll call you before the holidays, cocksucker. You know I love you.
Hey, listen, hold on a second, kids. Hey, listen, you have a great holiday. Your friend out there, everybody out there, just, you know, be cool and go get them, you dirty cocksuckers.
What's the website to go to today? What's the website to make some money? DannyBWins.com.
DannyBWins.com. DannyBWins.com. Check it out. Have some fun. Everybody have a great holiday. And Coco, as soon as that baby comes out, give us a call.
I'll call you.
Please.
I love you, brother. Thank you for calling in.
Love you too, guys.
Give my best to
Gary.
Have
a great holiday, Hollywood. Bye-bye, fellas.
That thing of taping over with the cat confession was fucking hysterical. I told you, bro. These guys got that particular group. Those motherfuckers got stories for fucking weeks. For weeks. I got stories for fucking weeks. Groove is in the heart. What happened? It got interrupted. What'd you do, cocksucker?
We're probably going to get interrupted again.
Two days from Christmas. Hit it, Lee.
All right.
I love that fucking jam. That jam always gets me in a good mood.
Do you want to start it over?
Sure, whatever. I want to see you dance. You haven't danced all
I've
fucking day
dancing.
For me yet. You're going home. You're going to a fucking New England game next week. They might lose today. They might not cover.
Oh, there you go.
No,
they're not going
to
lose.
Those motherfuckers go lose. Oh, shit. You're taking the girl. Where are you taking the girl?
To the Patriots game.
Oh, shit. Oh, don't leave. Oh, yeah. Let me see how you're going to dance with shout out to Dick Ziyatt down there in Florida guarding the fucking troops. Look at your son with the beard. He's making it happen. He's going to eat that ass, Mr. Ziyatt. Hit it. Hit it, Lee. Oh, shit, Lee. Look at Lee wiggling, burning some calories today. Looking good, motherfucker. All right, baby, so we're 2 days away from Christmas.
Yes, we are.
And who do you like today in the football fucking league today?
Let's
who do you
see.
Like? Let's see.
I think, you don't think so, but I think New Orleans and Dallas is going to be a good game. I don't know who's going to win. Tennessee, Green Bay, that's bad.
How about the Texans giving 9 to fucking the Vikings today? How about Dallas giving 1 to New Orleans and Dallas? How about, well, Philly just sucks. Look at New England giving 14 points to Jacksonville, even though Jacksonville is the worst.
I think the two games, there's three games that I like. The Giants at Baltimore, because they've both lost a lot recently, so they need to win. I like San Francisco at Seattle, which is the Sunday night game again, just because Seattle's been great and San Francisco's been great, unfortunately. And then another game that should be interesting is Cleveland at Denver. Cleveland always sticks around.
How about this game? The Giants against Baltimore. Giants are giving 1. They lost 2 games in a fucking row, so you can't even take the points because, Harry, leave her alone. You can't take the fucking points because you got nowhere to run to. You follow me? I mean, there's some games today. Me, I'm staying out of this mess today. This is a fucking nightmare. This is, if I liked anybody today, I'd take the Jaguars taking the 14 points. I have nothing to lose. For a small 50 just to watch the game. The Jets, you can't even fucking watch anymore. Minnesota, Houston, Texans.
One of the Jets.
Texans are fucking tough at home.
Yeah.
12-2. You know, I mean, I don't know what the fuck they are at home. I guarantee they're probably undefeated at home or some shit. Minnesota's 8-6. I don't see the beauty of a guy from Minnesota's going to break some records today or whatever. He's got the possibility.
He is
going fucking nuts. So that's a big line right there. I mean, today's a tough day. You know, that's why, thank God. Today I just hang out by the fucking club, see who wins money playing pool, and fucking stab him. Or do something there, you know what I'm saying? New England, Jacksonville, fucking over and over, 51. What am I going to do here? How are you going to fucking act? It's 2 days from Christmas, Lee. If you lose this week, instead of buying your kid a bicycle, you got to pay some fucking mook at a fucking diner on fucking Thursday. That's what I don't like. That's what I never liked about it. But we got a great week. Remember, we're just doing this podcast again tomorrow, and then we're shutting down till January. We'll let you know when.
Yeah, first
but
week
do
January.
But do you people a fucking favor. I think. Did you see the, we didn't make, and I'm not saying this shit to bust people's balls. The reason why I'm saying this is to, as a family, what we've done this year together, Lee, myself, and you guys. You know, we had the CD this year, went 1. We had the Testicle Testaments. They made it to Billboard, and it's thanks to you guys. You guys already gave me a fucking Christmas present this year, and it was just bringing me back, making me feel alive, making me feel like a fucking stand-up. And it all started by me ripping a fucking hooker's wig off, which is just amazing. That's the name of the book, Taking the Hooker's Wig Off. Because this is what got this started. You people like the honesty and whatever the fuck we talking about. This week, you know, Rolling Stone, I don't know if they ever printed that article. They sent me an email or some shit saying that the writer was going to print a small reverb about it before the holidays. I don't get Rolling Stone. You know, somebody calls me and says there's a great article in Rolling Stone about the Stones or the Who or fucking some chick or something, I'll go buy it, and when I fly, I read the whole Rolling Stone, but I haven't flown, so I don't know what was in there. Last week, people were hitting me up, Joey, what the fuck? You know, your CD didn't get put on the best. I didn't think it was going to be one of the best albums of the year. It was us fucking around in Brea, and it's a good album, and I'm happy I put it out there, and I'm happy you guys enjoyed it for $5. This is the week that I think Rolling Stone says one of the sleeper albums of the year.
Really?
Yeah,
oh, awesome.
It was one of the sleeper albums of the year, so if you didn't get a... You know, what's the name of the album?
It's either You or the Priest.
It's either You or the Motherfucking Priest. It's going to be on iTunes again this week. And we got the documentary. A lot of people are purchasing again on Amazon and on...
Payloads.
Payloads. If you didn't get that for Christmas and you want to send a download to somebody, you can do that. Me and Lee don't know what we're going to do next year. We're definitely talking about another CD, which I'm working on now, and another DVD. But the DVD, I'm so busy. You know, I just got this movie in fucking New Orleans.
It's a long year. We'll figure it out.
It's a long year, but we'll figure everything out. But we're going to be here rocking motherfuckers.
Oh, shit.
In the free world like a bad motherfucker. But we'll be back here tomorrow. And like I said, you know, if you know somebody who's heavy and they want to get their life together and they just want to get a little healthy, because just because you're fat doesn't mean you're unhealthy. We've never said that. You know, when I was 400 pounds, I remember going to the doctor the first time before I went on Weight Watch, and him going to me, dog, you're not unhealthy. You know, you are. I mean, but it's not like you're falling apart. There's no diabetes. There's none of this shit, none of that shit. He goes, you can stop this now. He goes, if you want to, do the gastric bypass. Is that the first one?
Yeah.
And I was like, listen, I hate fucking needles, and I hate doctors, and I hate all that shit. Pasadena, Lena. So this is why I got into the thing, because he said there was hope. You know, from the blow, I thought that my heart was just looked like an avocado. And he goes, believe it or not, your heart just has a couple of black spots from the sleep apnea.
Mm-hmm.
Because that puts more stress on your heart than the fucking
blow.
Than the blow. So that's why I started getting healthy, because I thought I was doomed already. I thought once you're 400 pounds, you're fucking doomed. No, you're not. It's just the beginning. Your body's been walking around with that weight. It's getting that stronger. And you imagine if they take that weight off, it's like running around with a fucking weight vest on.
Yeah.
You're brand fucking new. You know what I'm saying? What other songs you got for me today, Lee? What other music? Play something.
We have a...
We were going to talk about the album.
Yeah.
Fuck. I forgot about this. You know, it's really interesting that... Danny today said that the best summer, it was for me. Listen, if I live in the past, it's 1982. That's when I robbed the jewelry store. That's when I fucked the chick I wanted to fuck with the most. I was in love with this girl for 4 years. I just wanted to fuck her and get it over with. And I fucked her. Somebody sent me a picture on Facebook the other day. She's 300 pounds. She's still fucking beautiful. I'm not in love with her no more. But I did everything that year that was on the list. I robbed people. I robbed the jewelry store. We snorted blow. I got my dick sucked. It was just one of those years that everything clicked. 82 was when it started. I was on an 18-month tear. You know, I was on it was funny because I was there. I was sitting there going, December 19th. What the fuck did I do December 19th? And I was like, man, I got a job at this hardware store called Boulevard Hardware. It's still there in Jersey. It was, I forget the guy's name. The family had a weird last name. They were Arab, but they were cool as shit. The sister was beautiful. Mohammed Zabib. Yeah, that was... No, that's my economy teacher. Anyway, but I worked there with a guy named Montesano. Montesano got me the job there. And I took the job like 2 weeks before Christmas. I was working with Fernie Bassasuto and Glenn Conti at some place that made stands. You ever go to Ralph's or a supermarket and you see like Entenmann's Donuts, those stands?
Yeah.
And it was a mafia job. The guy that ran the thing was a friend of a friend, so he got us a job there, and it was a no-show job. But he kept saying, listen, to get into the union for those 30 days, I need you to show up for the 30 days. After that, it's a no-show job. But if you show up for the 30 days, you just sign in, and you don't have to work. So we'd go to the roof, to the top of the fucking thing, and we'd set up the boxes, and we'd play football. So we'd make like a fake defensive line. And I would go play off. I mean, it was fucking crazy. Then we knocked out one of the guys with that. One of the workers there would send us. You ever watch Copland?
No.
You ever seen Copland with De Niro and everybody? And there's a scene in there where they have a social club. Well, that place was a real little strip mall when we were kids. Fernie Bassasuto's father owned a sandwich spot there called H&B Diner. H&B Diner, yeah. And they used to have really the best pork sandwiches. I mean, pork on Italian bread. With hot sauce.
Nice.
And a can of Coke. Oh my fucking God. It was fucking delicious. So we would go over there at lunchtime, and the factory was right around the corner, and at lunchtime we would go over there, and then that old guy, the black guy, would give me a couple dollars to buy him a big container of blackberry brandy. And I would come back at 10 and he'd drink the whole fucking bottle. And one day he's like, I want to play football with you guys. So we're like, we got to build more boxes. Right. So he goes, play down here. So the boxes, there was a wind open behind us, like a window. I'm up in the fucking roof on the ceiling. And I'm shooting the boxes at this guy. And he would catch them down below. It's like a 10-foot drop.
Yeah.
So Conti would give them to me, and I'd just throw them down. And the guy would catch them out of the air. And one of them, the guy turns around. He's a little drunk. He's like, come on, send it down, Cuba. He's a black guy. And I send it down, and the wind catches it. And it started, and I see him, his eyes open. He's drunk. And his eyes open because he lost it in the wind. Like some people lose the ball in the sun. Not this motherfucker. He lost it in the wind. And he finally, it just clocked him right here. And you could hear him going, bap! It broke that fucking bone. He went down. There was blood everywhere. The fucking shop steward got mad at me. It was the end after that.
Jesus Christ. End.
But,
and the reason you bring it up is?
Because I got this job at this. I got fired. I didn't get fired, but they were like, dog, we get you a no-show job, and you break the little black guy's fucking nose. And he was a sweetheart of a guy. I always felt bad about that. We took care of him after that and whatnot. But I got this job at the Boulevard Hardware, and I was in there selling tools, and I was doing a great job. And on January 21st of 1983, I took my first pinch. I gave my buddy Tommy Russo the Rat some fucking checks. And he turned them into the cops. The cops came and arrested me. for fucking look at this shit. This is the shit I get. I give Lee a fucking envelope that comes back with defective fucking material. He bought this from some Mexican downtown. The guy's like, you're no good, Lee. You're no fucking good. Anyway, what the fuck is this shit? You gonna call or I'm sitting here waiting like patience on a monument, cocksucker? Hello? Yeah. I know who it is.
I'll play it.
Well, call. Call the fucking number. No, I text you a number this morning. You say I got to deal with what song you got for me?
I was just playing that song just in case you didn't say the number.
Which one?
I was just playing Groovers.
How many times you gonna play Groovers in the Hut, Lee? You're the worst fucking DJ. You want to play the same song three fucking times?
You told me to play it twice.
No, because we didn't finish it. Yeah, because right. There's your boy. Right, you motherfucker. Who's this?
Johnny Trussell.
Oh shit! Direct from fucking Las Vegas. How are you, buddy?
Hey, how's it going, man?
You know the church of what's happening now. Our prayers and our thoughts are always with you, and everything worked out, and that's it. We just wanted you to say hello and call up, and we had the guy call up the other day from ballcancersucks.com, and he talked to us, and I've been trying to get you on all week, and that's it. What's happening, cocksucker?
Man, it's almost Christmas. The world didn't end. Mighty good.
How you feeling?
I feel great. I mean, okay. The weird thing about it is I feel 50 times better than I felt in a really long time. You know, getting, like, when you have cancer and you get it cut out of your body, you actually feel better. Which I guess seems like an obvious thing to say, but it wasn't something I considered when they were telling me they were going to chop off one of my balls.
Unfucking believable, Duncan. And when you called me, I was high, so I thought you were just breaking my balls a little bit. And then I called you back and you told
me... Who cares? You got two.
Oh my God, I was blown the fuck away, Duncan, when you called me, and I remember getting home.
By the way, do you know what a relief it was when, even though you thought I was joking, you were just joking with me about it? Because the funny thing about getting tested any kind of cancer is that you have to call people and let them know. And when you call people, it makes sense, but people get really worried and scared because you hear in their voice, like, it summons up all kinds of different fears, not just for you, but for them, because they're contemplating their own mortality all of a sudden, and so it can be off-putting. So when I called you, and you were like, you got two, who cares? It was really funny, you know? But, yeah, because it is also, testicular cancer is the most treatable cancer there is, I think. One of the most treatable ones.
Jesus, Duncan. No, you scared a lot of people. A lot of people were concerned, and, you know, Duncan, I got to be as honest as I can with you. In 2006, I got the longest yard, 2005. And after that, I went into my own deep, dark world because I thought things were going to happen and they didn't. And I didn't see you for a long time. You left the store and I didn't see you. And you had a girlfriend or whatever. And I tell you, man, the last 2 years since I've been in contact with you, the quality of my life is a lot better. So when you told me that...
Your feeling is mutual.
Oh, my God. When you told me that, it destroyed my insides for like 10 minutes. Then I thought about it, and I said, you know what, man? I have a friend that got diagnosed 3 years ago. I cried. I was worried for a week. This motherfucker called me yesterday. He's making lobster bisque today. He's telling me how he's got these 20 lobsters, and he's making lobster bisque. And sometimes it's just a bump in the road that you overcome, and you come back super strong, and I'm happy. I'm happy you're here doing your thing.
It's not even, I mean, that, it's not even that big a bump. It's now that I'm on that, like, whenever anyone I know gets cancer, it's been a million times more horrifying than when I have finally got it. It's like something other people getting it is more scarier, but when you get it, it's like, oh, this is just a, you know, this is, I've got it, this is a fight. It's like when you're in the UFC and you get called by Dana White, and you've got this fight coming up, and you're like, oh, great, I'll take the fucking fight. Except in this case, it's the Grim Reaper, and they're cutting off one of your balls. But in the same way, it's just like, oh, okay, I'll fight this because it's the easiest cancer to defeat. You know, which is, that's why I keep saying that, because I don't want people to get upset about this. What I have, now that all the tests have come back, is a 95% cure rate. That means it would be embarrassing to die from this. It would be embarrassing. Like, people would be like, wow, you're an anomaly. How did that happen? It's so it's not really anything to worry about too much. And I feel great. And if I may say, my jizz is like this pearlescent white now, this like beautiful brand new, like when you get a new car, color white, sparkling fresh snow on the Alps, like white.
When you had that cancer nut, how was your sperm? Was it brown? Or it smelled like fucking Mitzi Shore's foot?
It was just like unhealthy. It's like an old dog. Like if somebody had an old white dog and its skin was, you know, it's just, we had some fun back in the day, but we're going to have to put you to sleep soon, pal. That was the color of my jib. But now it's like, just glowing like flash bulb white, like the white in Willy Wonka's chocolate factory in that teleporter that they had to wear glasses for.
So it's nice and sweet, like pineapple juice. These chicks are going to be dying to suck your dick now. It's going to be all nice and fucking creamy and tropically coconutty and shit. You got that one nut giving out that juju juice now. Forget yeah. about it. You'll be slinging dick. I'm telling you, I'm so happy because your attitude, which was really the winner in this, your attitude. I've seen other people who have been sick before, and your attitude took it and looked at it and steamrolled this motherfucker. You didn't even give it a chance to fucking grow.
Well, yeah, exactly, man. I mean, all this, my whole life I've been reading these books on Buddhism and meditation and all this, you know, stuff that, you know, part of me, the whole time reading it, and part of me, it's cynical, skeptical part, like, you know, this is all just like New Age bullshit, because I hadn't really, it's like going to study some martial art for a long time, and then finally you get in a street fight, and you realize, holy shit, this stuff works. And in the same way, it's like a lot of the stuff that I've been thinking about for years, when like something like this happened where I was faced, at least momentarily, before I knew exactly what the spread of the thing was, when I was faced with like, yeah, you really might die. It was really cool because everything that I had studied about impermanence and the fact that nothing lasts that long on this planet, everything ends up dissolving, and it really helped to keep me from freaking the fuck out. Because you can't panic. I mean, there is this moment where you're sitting in the doctor's office and he's at the desk looking at you and he's like, yeah, you have a tumor in your testicles that's 90% cancer, 90% chance of cancer. We should schedule the surgery now, and we're going to send you up to do a CT scan to make sure it hasn't gone into your chest and your brain. That part of the fucking ride sucks. That sucks. That's like vertigo. That's like you're in a goddamn Alfred Hitchcock movie and just sweating, and you feel like someone stuffed cotton in your ears. You can't hear anything. You're like, what the fuck? I was just at breakfast. I was just having eggs and coffee. That was pretty intense, but everything changes, you know?
You know, Duncan, about 3 or 4 years ago, I shot a commercial. And I shot a commercial a week before Thanksgiving. And it was like a mob commercial. I forget who it was for, and it was a bunch of guys in the room. And the one guy said he had a pain in his shoulder. And then he went to the doctor the week before. We were talking about pains, and I had known him. His name is Lenny. And he goes, I had this pain in my shoulder, and I went to the doctor last week. And he goes, he did this checkup. And while we were shooting the commercial, it was like a 10-hour shoot, and at lunchtime, they called him up, and they told him he had cancer. I will never forget how this guy looked.
He had what?
At lunchtime, they called him, the doctor's office. He had tested like that Monday. He had shoulder pain. And that Thursday, they called him on the set, and they told him they had cancer. And the rest of the
what
six...
What time?
Like at lunchtime. And the rest of the...
No, what kind of cancer?
Like something in his chest. He had like lumps or something. Something. I don't know what type of cancer. I mean, he's still around with us today. I see him at auditions, and we talk on the phone. But I remember that it was lunch when they called him, and he stayed there on the set till 6 o'clock and didn't say a word, just shot the commercial. I would have had a nervous breakdown. I couldn't focus on shooting a fucking commercial.
Yeah, that's intense.
Till this day, Duncan, I'm that guy's friend because of how he responded to that. I would have heard a nervous breakdown. I would have had to call everybody I know and gotten support and moral support. This fucking guy shot the commercial like nothing. And, yeah, you know, he was worried at the end of the day. Yeah, we walked to his car at the end of the day, and he was kind of upset. But, bro, I went to breakfast with you the Thursday before you had the surgery. And you look great. You were already in motion. You were already not eating meat. You were taking vitamins. You were already on to the next level. And I fucking applaud that, man. Some people would have sat there in their own fucking woe and talked about it and quit comedy. And, oh, my God, let's fuck that. You took it. You looked at the tiger. You put a chair in there. You said, suck my dick, cancer. I'm slinging dick with one nut like a motherfucker. And that's what we represent.
Yeah, man. What else are you going to do? I mean, really, like, and I don't think you would be, Joey. I think you'd say that you would be freaked out, and I think you'd be freaked out. Anybody's going to be freaked out for a little bit, but something else kicks in these situations. I mean, the important thing, there's two things that I've realized from this. Number one, everything will change in your life unexpectedly. That's the first one. I know that's a cliche thing to say, but when you really experience it, it's like, so it really does feel like God just threw cold water on your face. Everything lights up, you connect with the world again and realize how important it is to not to like, I'm going to go to Paris now or crap like that, but you realize how important it is to be yourself and just do what you do regardless of what other people think or how other people want you to be. That's the first thing you realize, because that's all you got. And then the second fucking thing that you realize is that you really do have to make sure that you're telling everybody that you love them and care for them, and that's the most important thing. You realize what the real currency is on this planet, and it's not money. You know, the real currency is connection and love and, like, not being afraid to express that to people. Because if this shit can spin like this for me in an afternoon, that means it can spin like that for everybody. You know, everyone you know, you always are going to get that fucking phone call. No matter who you are, no matter who you are, you will get the phone call. You know, and what they say on the other end is going to be different for everybody, but what's behind it will always be the same. And that thing behind it is that everything changes. Nothing's permanent, and things change drastically. So don't put off kissing the girl, smoking the joint, whatever the thing is. It doesn't mean go and be Mahatma Gandhi. It just means fucking go for it now.
You're a fucking savage. You're a fucking savage, dog. I am so proud to call you my friend, and you just showed this fucking courage the last couple of weeks, and you sound great. You're ready to rock. 2013 is going to be your year, DT.
Can't fucking wait, man. Yeah, it's going to be very exciting. Also, I have a giant bottle of Vicodin, which never hurts.
And I got some Shiffy. I got some heroin and some juju pills and some Alpha Brain. You mix all that shit together. Alpha Brain and heroin's got to be tremendous. You rub some Bengay on your feet and get some Alpha Brain and some heroin. You get that full fucking body blast. It's like sticking two fingers up Lee's ass. He'll be up for fucking days. Hopefully this week my wife will have the baby and I'll get down to do the family hour with you. And I'm just happy.
That'd be great, Joe.
I'm happy you called, and I love you, and I know the people wanted to hear from you. And
love you too, man. And obviously anything that you need with that baby, let me know, man. I will do diaper airing.
No, well, what I need is what we might do is once I give birth or once we're close, I might call you. Because I'm having the baby close to you, and you might come down with the podcasting machine, and we might do a podcast right at the fucking hospital. So get it together, cocksucker. You're on call the next week.
I will have batteries and microphones
ready to go,
Joey. You all right, brother. Let me know. I'm on call, man.
I love you, buddy, for all the love you give us. Thank you very much.
Love you, Joey. Bye now.
Have a great day. So if you motherfuckers got a problem with courage, that's the guy you follow, because he's not muscular. He ain't a UFC fighter. That guy handled it like a soldier. I could never handle it like that.
Yeah, for everyone out there, he put out a 30-minute podcast, like, the day he told everybody, and it's just him, and he's just talking about it, and it's inspiring for not just because he has cancer, but anyone who's looking for it, you should listen to that.
And that's it. I love you motherfuckers with all my heart. Do not forget, Go to Onnit.com. Get your year started right. Get the hemp protein. Substitute a meal with the hemp protein. Get some grapefruits. Get some apples. Get the fucking strong bone. Get some vitamin C. Get some Visine for your eyes. Because you're going to be smoking dope like a motherfucker. You don't want everybody to know. Let's get this going. Let's get the New Year's going together. Thank you very much for watching the church. Thank you for giving Lee Syatt the support. Fuck him. We're going to fart in his face January 17th. Whether the chick wants to or not. I'm at the Improv in Irvine January 17th. That's all I got on the books. You know, it's not the time to push dates or nothing. It's the holidays. You know what's sad for me? That, you know, I'm from Jersey or whatever the fuck I'm from. That shouldn't matter. But it's cold for me this time of the year. You're from Boston, Lee.
Yeah, it's freezing.
So for us, we're driving around here and it's sunny out. It doesn't really feel like it. And you see a few houses that have the lights, snow, yeah. The lights and shit. But it doesn't feel like it yet. And to me, I've always said this. Since I was 13, I've always said that it ain't Christmas till you hear John Lennon. Once you hear John Lennon, that 23rd on the radio, when you're sitting outside of a mall and you just park the car and it starts, and this is when I get emotional when I hear John Lennon. I've been playing the song for the last 2 weeks, but it was just bullshit. Tomorrow, we will be back on the air, not at 6 a.m. We're going to be on the air at 9 a.m. California time, 12 o'clock Jersey time, because fuck it, nobody's working. Let's do one last one. I'm having Frank Burdice call. He's a testosterone doctor to help you with testosterone replacement. We're going to get somebody else to call on the side for the small call. I love you motherfuckers. Lee, throw him a kiss.
Love you guys.
Lee will be at the New England Patriot game next week with the MB Leaf girl. I love her. She's taking it next week. We're going to get him some tickets. So if you're at the New England area, give a shout out to Lee and he'll meet you by the hot dog stand and buy you a hot dog because that's how Lee fucking rolls, okay? So if you're at the New England game, I will be here all next week waiting for this baby to hatch. But we'll talk tomorrow morning. Go to Onnit.com. A shout out to everybody who loves it. Shout out to Duncan Trussell, Joe Rogan. A shout out to, like I said, Harlem Debt Squad. And follow Lee Syatt, this little Jew cocksucker who I love with all my heart. Oh, Lee, let's do a little John Lennon. Let's get the fuck out of here.
Happy Christmas, Kilko. Happy Christmas, Joe. So this is Christmas. What have you done?
Have a great day with your families.
Another year over, and a new one just begun. And so